Today's sermon text is Psalm 10. You may have noticed that in our responsive reading for the day, we didn't read a psalm, which is our normal routine. We normally read a psalm together, but we read from Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, a poetic passage from his writings. And the sermon text today is a psalm. I'll read Psalm 10 in its entirety through the course of our time this morning. But let's pray as we begin. Lord, I ask that in this time, you would open this word to our hearts, and that the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think would be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer, and in you we find our hope, in you we find our answers, in you we find someone who can handle our questions. We give you thanks for this opportunity in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in a church season called Lent. It began this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and Lent is a season of 40 days, excluding Sundays, that goes all the way through Easter Sunday, up until Easter Sunday. We're in the season of preparation, getting ready to reflect again on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and to remember the sequence of events that led to his death and his return from the dead. Today is also a special Sunday called Freedom Sunday. And this is not really in the church calendar. It's not something that we do every year, but it's something that we're doing today, celebrating a day called Freedom Sunday in partnership with many other churches, many other church groups. This has come about through the partnership of our denomination, the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, and many other groups that are sort of like-minded with us. All across the country and really around the world, churches today are focusing on freedom in a particular direction. Those denominations are groups like the Free Methodists and the Wesleyans and the United Methodists, the Church of the Nazarene, the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, Assemblies of God, lots of different groups, some of whom we have more in common with than others. But we all come from the same perspective that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is most important, and that the way that we live should have, the faith that we live should have some influence on the way that we practice our everyday lives. There should be some connection between the words that we say here and how we practice stuff outside in the world. I got a little bit of the crud going on today, that's all. I won't shake your hand at the end of the service if that's all right. Probably be all right. Best for you. And we'll have the ushers pass the elements of the communion today. It's all good. The problem that we are focusing on today, the reason that we're calling this Freedom Sunday, is the problem of human trafficking. This is what Ron mentioned at the beginning of the service today. We're going to spend some time thinking about human trafficking today and through the season of Lent. Human trafficking is a worldwide issue that ranges from the streets of Thailand to the streets of Detroit, and really much closer to home than we realize. We're going to look at the issues surrounding human trafficking beyond today, all the way up until Easter, because it's an important issue. It's an issue of social importance that we as Christians need to be aware of, and we need to be equipped to do something about. Since we are intentionally growing as disciples of Jesus, we will investigate how Jesus can set people free in real terms in today's world. And since we are intentionally growing as servants in our community, we will explore ways that we can be actively involved in helping people to find that freedom in Christ. Now, it's not to say that we're all going to go out to pull people out of wherever they're enslaved physically, tangibly. One of the most important things that we can do is to pray for those who are oppressed. So we'll think about that in detail too. Before we get into specifics, I want to be sensitive to you all. I know that some of the issues that fall under the label of human trafficking can be very emotionally charged, and maybe more for you than for the person sitting next to you. It's not my intent through this series, through the season of Lent, to push buttons or to cause you undue distress as we talk about human trafficking. I know there are such things as triggers, which can be very real and very personal, and very uncomfortable. So you have always, you have this permission. But you have permission to take care of yourself as you need to, as we talk about things that are related to human trafficking. What is human trafficking? We define it in two basic ways. Human trafficking is defined by our federal government as falling under the category of sex trafficking or labor trafficking. Those are the two large categories that it can fall under. There are also situations where people can find themselves trafficked for the sale of their organs, or even for children to be conscripted into armies to fight wars against other children. We see that in parts of the world even today. In each of these types of situations, the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking, the organ harvesting, and the child warfare thing, people are being used against their will and held against their will, forced to perform against their actions, their wishes, with no hope of freedom or release. This is real stuff that's happening in the world today. And if it sounds a lot like slavery, that's because it is. We don't need to pull any punches about what human trafficking is. We didn't get rid of slavery when we passed the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution after our Civil War. There, now there's no more slavery in the world. Poof, we made things right. No, it didn't go away. Slavery takes lots of different forms in every generation, even our own. In today's world, there are approximately 30 million people who are enslaved in one way or another. One of the ways that I mentioned, or perhaps others. 30 million. That's three times the population of Michigan. About 80% of those who are trafficked, for one reason or another, are female, women or girls. 80%. About half of the 30 million that are trafficked, for one reason or another, are children under the age of 18, girls and boys. Every year, 800,000 to 900,000 people are bought or sold or forced across international lines. A recent investigation by the United Nations found that there are 700,000 children forced into labor in Indonesia. Another study found that in Thailand, a nation in Asia as well, there are some 800,000 girls under the age of 16 who have been forced to work in local bars and red light districts. Human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry. It makes some people extremely wealthy. And the hope, sadly sometimes, is for the families of these, especially young girls, is that they might be able to benefit from some of the financial proceeds of this. Sometimes victims come from poverty-stricken families, families who sell their children for money. But of course, the bulk of the money does not go to the families or even to the victims. The victims are subjected to some of the worst treatment imaginable. Eddie Byun is a Christian leader in South Korea, I believe it is South Korea. He wrote a book called Justice Awakening. And our denomination, Church of God in Anderson, sent every pastor in our movement a copy of this book. I don't know, Jerry, did you get a copy of this in the mail? Well, you can read it if you like. I have it. It's a quick read. He wrote this book, Justice Awakening, and he described some of the things that that victims of human trafficking experience. He described it this way. After capturing them, it is only the beginning of the evil that they do. The captors will physically and mentally abuse them, the girls. Within the first 48 hours, most women and girls are sexually violated to crush any hopes of holding on to their purity and innocence. Soon afterward, they are violated 8 to 10 times a day, every day, for years, until someone comes to set them free. But by that time, many have AIDS or STDs and are rejected by their home villages. So as a result, the people are crushed. This problem is not just overseas. It is close to home as well. According to the Polaris Project, which is an organization that runs the National Human Trafficking Resource Center telephone hotline. It's a mouthful. There's a phone number, that's what it boils down to, an 800 number that people can call to find help, to get help, or to even put tips in the ears of police officers about where some of these issues might be happening. The National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline. It's a well-known 800 number that can be shared freely for people to call. According to the Polaris Project, which runs this hotline, there were over 5,000 cases of potential human trafficking issues in the United States just last year, 2014. 5,000 cases of potential human trafficking. Karen, there's an image on the slide there that you can show, the next one up, a map of the U.S. This map, thank you, is the Polaris Project's report of where those potential human trafficking cases are found. 5,000 of them just in 2014. You can see they range from coast to coast, north to south, essentially in every populated area of the country. There is human trafficking going on. 5,000 cases just last year, and keep in mind, these are only the ones that called that 800 number for help. There are probably, likely, absolutely many more than that that weren't reported. Of these 5,000 cases from last year, 71% of them dealt with sex trafficking, 16% of them dealt with labor trafficking, the two big categories of human trafficking. 4% of those cases dealt with both sex and labor trafficking. As you look at that map, you know where you are, right? The dots in central and lower Michigan are there. It's not very far away. Thank you, Karen. You can, for the sake of our well-being, you can put up the other slide now. The human capacity for evil never ceases to amaze me. People grasp for power and control and money, and they are willing to inflict all kinds of abuse on anyone along the way. This discussion is enough, I think, to make you wonder where God is in the world, if God is even aware of this situation, if he cares about any of the victims or anything along those lines. It goes back to the song Angie sang. Where is God in all of this mess? Hear these words, which were written a few thousand years ago, but sound very modern. From Psalm 10. I'll read just the first 11 verses to get us started. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. These words sound like they could have been written today about the problem of human trafficking in the world. Where is God? Why does God allow these things to happen? Is God going to do something about it? We have to wrestle with questions to which there are not always easy answers. But watch as the psalmist moves from lament and sadness and complaint to a pleading request of God, starting in verse 12. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. Friends, the Lord has real power in this universe. God is able to lift up his hand and break the arm of the wicked man. It's a metaphor meant to describe the control that the wicked has on the innocent. Break the arm of the wicked man is a way of saying that God is able to stop the oppression and the exploitation of the weak. If God would but move, then evil would not stand a chance. So we, with the psalmist, call on God to move. And we do so with confidence. Listen to how Psalm 10 concludes, on a note of triumph, on a note of confidence, even a note of hope and peace. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, God sees the problem of human trafficking. God is aware of each of the 30 million individuals who need freedom in Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence that God will arise and remember the helpless. You see, God is not interested simply in the destination of people's souls after they die. God is very much interested in the lives that people live in this present world now. It's not just about what happens beyond the grave. It's about what happens before the grave. At our pastor's institute, it strikes me, last month Pastor Jerry and I were at a retreat for pastors, and the speaker there said something that was really meaningful and very profound. He said, you often see these billboards or bumper stickers that say, if you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Right? But he phrased it, the question, a different way that I think is really a lot more helpful. If you don't die tonight, what will you do tomorrow? Rather than thinking about what happens then, what if you don't die tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow to make this world a better place, to bring someone freedom in Christ, to introduce the gospel to them, to make a difference in somebody's life, to feed somebody who doesn't have a meal? You know, what if you don't die tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? God is not just interested in eternal destinies. He's interested in what happens here and now. This is what it means when we say that God is a God of justice. He cares about what happens here. He cares about things happening right today. And he acts in compassion and love toward the suffering. And he acts in judgment and power against the wicked. Not just then, down the road when the day of judgment comes, but even today, God is active in this fight against human trafficking, for instance, and against all other kinds of evil as well. What is our role in this struggle? What can we do? There are many organizations around the world that are already working against human trafficking, and we can join with them to support them in their work to bring people to a place of freedom. We as a church have already given $1,000 to the Church of God in Anderson. There is a drive going along among our churches to raise $1 million to support these organizations around the world to bring an end to human trafficking in our day. And the call is for 1,000 churches to give $1,000, and we have already given $1,000 to that. I've heard that they've raised around $250,000 of that million so far. Today is a big day for that because many churches are putting a call out for that money now. We're ahead of the game as far as that goes. You'll have more information soon about if you'd like to give more toward this effort, where to send those funds. I haven't forgotten about your request, Geraldine, from 4 months ago. You'll see that next week, where you can send funds if you'd like to help with this cause. We can become involved in those organizations. We can put our feet on the ground and help people with the struggles that they face if we have connections with folks in these kinds of situations. But first and foremost, we can pray. Prayer is a powerful tool in all aspects of life, and especially in obtaining freedom for the oppressed. Prayer matters. Prayer makes a huge difference in people's lives. Psalm 10, the psalm that we have read together today, is an excellent example of prayer. It is a space in which we express our true feelings about the situation. We express our outrage at the injustice of the world. We cry out to God for Him to do something about it. And we express our confidence that God will act and bring about justice, because He is King forever and ever. I encourage you, as we go through this season of Lent together and think about the scourge of human trafficking in this space each week, I encourage you to pray Psalm 10 on a regular basis, to read it, maybe every day, to read Psalm 10. It's only, 18 verses long. And to use it as a form of prayer, to ask the Lord to do something about the issue of human trafficking in today's world. What fascinates me about Psalm 10 is who we get to hear. As you read Psalm 10 over and over this in the next 5-6 weeks, pay special attention to who is allowed to speak. There's the psalmist, of course, the person praying the prayer, the one calling out to God, but who does he quote? As you read Psalm 10, pay attention to it, because here's what happens. The only person that Psalm 10 quotes speaking, and it's the psalmist thinking, here's what this person is saying, is not the victim, but the oppressor. The wicked man says, God doesn't see. God doesn't have anything to do with this. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, and it's just like that in the world. The victim doesn't have a voice. The oppressor is the one who gets to speak. So part of our task in fighting against human trafficking is giving voice to the victim. So next week, in this space, from this pulpit, you will hear the voice of a victim of human trafficking. Her name is Caitlin Mercy. She's a friend of ours, Tara's and mine, from our choir connections. She's 17 years old, and is very intelligent, self-motivated. She's a fine young woman. She's a woman of faith. She's at her church right now playing handbells. She was going to be here today, but we had to reschedule it because her handbell choir had a special and she wanted to be, doing her thing. She and her family are good folks, but they've been through a lot. And she will be here, I hope with her family too, her mother and her brother, next Sunday. And she will share her story with us. No. This is next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I'll explain everything, Ron. Hang on. Yeah. The next Sunday morning, right here, you come to church, you won't miss her. Her story is very hard. It's painful to hear. It's difficult to hear. So come prepared for that. She's going to be open about her story, not just her past, but also what she is doing right now in being a world traveler. She lives in Sanford. This is where she experienced her trafficking. And now she gets to go to Cambodia and Thailand and do all this stuff to work against human trafficking. It's really amazing what God is doing in her life. So I encourage you to come next week and hear Caitlin's story. Then, Ron, to clear this up, on the 14th of March, which is three Saturdays from now, 2 weeks from this coming Saturday, at 2 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, this is a separate event, not on a Sunday, Saturday the 14th, I know it's Pi Day, okay? March 14th, the greatest of all Pi Days, Tyler, right? March 14th of 2015, 3.1415. I've had this date on my calendar, I'm not kidding, my Google calendar for like 9 years. I've bookmarked this date as a date of significant importance because it's 3.14.15. But on that day, so you won't forget it now, that day at 2 p.m., we're going to have a representative from the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force here to share with us what human trafficking looks like in Michigan, what organizations are doing about it, and how we as a church can be involved. We're going to advertise this to other churches in the area and hopefully draw some other folks to be a part of this conversation too. That's going to be an important event to attend. So does that clear that up for you, Ron? Next Sunday here, Caitlin Mercy. A few weeks, Pi Day. Yeah, I like pie too. We'll hear more about human trafficking from somebody actively involved in that field. Remember, friends, that God sees, that God is aware, and that God will arise to free the oppressed. Pray for the victims. Pray also for the oppressors. And pray that God will use you, even in some small way, to help defend the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. Do you join me in prayer? Lord our God, we give you thanks for this day, this Freedom Sunday, when we, with many brothers and sisters from many other congregations around the world, are centering our thoughts around what you are doing to bring an end to the violence that's being enacted against especially girls and women in our world. Help us, Lord, to be faithful prayers. Help us to remember you and to call on you to act in this world, to bring about freedom and justice, even within our lifetimes. We pray that you would strengthen Caitlin Mercy as she is preparing even now to come and speak with us next week, that you would strengthen the work of the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force based in Lansing, and that in all ways you would use us as agents of peace and reconciliation and justice in our everyday lives. We give you thanks that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of the universe, and that we can call on you to bring about righteousness and justice and fairness because we have no one else to turn to. Help us, Lord, to wrestle with the biggest questions of our lives and to find in you someone who walks alongside us as we ask those questions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.